Welcome to VI Talk, sharing ideas, information, and support.
Hi everyone, it's Michael. I'd like to share part of an interview Lauren and I held with Joe Robinson, a friend of ours from St. Vincent's. This interview is part of the SVOPA podcast, but we felt as Joe developed kidney failure during his early 20s and has managed very well dealing with this for the last 7 years, including self-dialyzing at home, we felt it would be an interesting interview to bring to VI Talk. Hope you enjoy. I'm going to hand over to Joe, who will talk about when he first was diagnosed with his kidney failure.
Before I got diagnosed with kidney failure, I was actually, I went through a bit of a career change, and in 2005, 2006, I trained as a computer technician, you know, just a basic computer technician in repairing computers and assembling computer systems and just a general technician, really. In July 2006, while I was going through this career change, I got a job at Asda in Ellesmere Port. Now, at the time, I was still living in Liverpool, and it was a long trek. It was, you know, 20 miles there and back. Now, that was the last job up until I got kidney failure, and I'll just explain what happened. All through my life, I always had really bad headaches, which I always thought were migraines. I know certain people who suffer with migraines themselves, and the doctors always put them down to being migraines. In 2006, again, they returned, and I recognised the symptoms. And so I went to my doctor, and I just asked him, I said, I think the migraines are returning. This was a different doctor, of course, a different GP. And I explained the symptoms, and he said to me, oh, this doesn't sound like a true migraine. So what he suggested was that I went for a blood test, and the headaches, you know, obviously he thought they were not true migraines, and they obviously were not, because I went for a blood test the next day, and within 4 hours, I had people and doctors frantically trying to get in touch with me, because I had to get into the Royal in Liverpool, because they'd found something in my blood, which was pointing out that it was coming from my kidneys. There was a problem with my kidneys. So I thought, nothing of it, okay. I'll go to the hospital, I'll be out the next day. You know, it's just an infection or something. So, you know, I go into the hospital and I get myself checked in. It was the next day, really, where I was having a number of tests. I was still being overconfident, saying I'll be out soon. And I think it was the weekend, you know, a consultant came to see me, and that's when I kind of knew, oh, something's not right here, because you very rarely see consultants at weekends. And I think the following Monday, after I'd been admitted, that's when I was officially diagnosed with kidney failure. They'd actually caught my kidney function at 10%, and that was for both kidneys. So each kidney had a 5% kidney function, so I was pretty lucky. You know, the doctor said to me, it's a good job. It wasn't a few weeks later. I'm sure you'd know the story there.
Yeah.
But basically, it's been 7 years, just over 7 years now. And I started dialysis on the 18th of September, which was about 6-7 months after I'd been diagnosed. It gave me the opportunity to have an operation in my arm done for the dialysis access, which is called an arterial venous fistula, which basically, to cut a long story short, they tie your artery and your vein together in your arm joint, and this makes your vein grow in your arm so you can get access very easily to the bloodstream. Now, so like I said, I started in September 2007, I started dialysis. Now, as you can imagine, it was absolutely terrifying, you know, because I was only 23 at the time as well. So I thought kidney failure was, you know, a disease for, you know, people who were older. I didn't think young people got kidney failure. So I think about a year or two into my dialysis, I started getting settled in, and I asked the nurses, you know, could I possibly learn how to needle myself, you know, put my own needles in. So they were actually quite keen to let me do it. And again, you know, I have got a little bit of eyesight and I do use it to my advantage. So they trained me on how to put my own needles in. And I've been doing that 5 years now. And then I thought about home dialysis. And so I actually I've known Holly since school, but we never really talked in school. I'd say, you know, I'd speak to her a couple of times, but she was shy, basically. But anyway, in 2009, we got together over Facebook. You know, we reconnected, and we got talking, and we got together. In 2012, I eventually moved over to Nantwich to live with Holly. And we've been living there now for almost 3 years. And again, I thought about home dialysis, and I asked, you know, I spoke to Holly about it, and I said, you know, would you be comfortable if I did dialysis at home? Would you be willing to learn a couple of things? Mm-hmm. And she was very keen. Now, Holly did have a fear of blood, but she's overcome this quite a lot, actually, to help me with dialysis. So in November last year, 2013, I started home dialysis. I had the machine installed and everything. The machine itself has got, I think it's about a 14-inch touchscreen display. So it's kind of like a small computer. But I can see the screen. Unfortunately, I can't read the numbers on the screen or anything else. So what I do with this is I use my camera on my phone, and I zoom in and take a picture of the screen, and then I can read the screen, you know, by zooming in on my phone. As regards to needling, I use my eyesight and I use the feel of my arm to see where the needle goes. Now, these needles are quite big. They're about an inch and a half long, and they're about 2 millimeters wide, and they're in your arm for about 4 hours at a time. You have two needles, one bringing your blood out, which you'll get cleaned by the machine. It just basically, without going into too much detail, it just works like a human kidney does. And then another set of tubing will bring the blood back to me, and it'll be clean then. But of course, it's not as good as human kidneys, so the process has got to be done for 4 hours at a time.
And how many times a week do you have to do that?
Well, in hospital, I was doing it 3 times a week, but having the freedom of home dialysis, we're doing it 4 times a week now, which is it's slightly better for you, because you're sneaking an extra dialysis in, and it's just helping to clean your system a bit better.
You did mention when we were talking as well, obviously you're on the donor waiting list to get a replacement kidney, and you did actually have a kidney offered at one time, and that didn't unfortunately take.
That's right, yeah. In 2011, I received a kidney transplant. It was the third time lucky, as I'd been called in twice before. And obviously, I didn't get it the 2 times before. But the third time, I received the transplant. And, you know, we were all excited, thinking this could be it. But sadly, I received the transplant on the 8th of October, and it had to be taken out on the 10th. And this was due to a blood clot in the vein in the transplanted kidney, sadly. So the kidney didn't work, basically.
How much, obviously, apart from the 4 hours every couple of days you have to dialysize, how much would you say it affects your life and stops you doing things, or are you still, you know, able to get most things done?
Well, hospital dialysis is a bit more restrictive because at one point, actually, when I moved to Nantwich, I didn't get into the local hospital straight away. So I had to travel to Halton, which is Runcorn, of course, and that was 20 miles where we lived, and that was 20 miles there and back. So it was a 40-mile round trip three times a week at 6 o'clock in the morning. So Holly's mum fought for me, actually, and eventually six weeks after I moved to Nantwich, I eventually got into the local hospital. As in terms of your life, it does restrict your life, unfortunately. Dialysis puts a strain on your body, so after dialysis, you tend to feel a bit nauseous and a bit dizzy, but not all the time. Sometimes the symptoms are worse one day compared to another. You also have to follow a fluid restriction and a specialised diet. It's going to sound really stupid, this, but you have to cut down on your fruit and veg. It's because your fruit and veg have got potassium in, and your kidneys, unfortunately, when they fail, they can't excrete the potassium, and a build-up of potassium in your body can lead to severe heart rhythm changes and heart failure. And a cardiac arrest, actually, which is when your heart stops. Also, you have to limit your dairy products and just the nice things, basically. You've got to limit your chocolate. As it regards to, all the sweet stuff as well, you've got to limit that.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, there's certain things you're not allowed, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. You're not really allowed chocolate, although, you know, I do have a little bit every now and then, but chocolate's one of the worst things for a kidney patient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not allowed too much of that. In regards to fluid, most patients, like myself at home, I am restricted, but not so much as if I was at hospital. I think I'm allowed a litre of fluid a day, whereas some patients could only be allowed half a litre, sometimes less. It just depends, basically, on how much urine you pass.
I mean, that's the beauty of home, though, isn't it? You can work it around other things as well, so a little bit. So that gives you that bit of freedom, not having to be a particular appointment time at a hospital or anything like that.
That's right, yeah.
I mean, what would you say to anyone, say, who's in a similar position to yourself? You know, any sort of help or advice?
I'd say, basically, if there was anyone who was blind or partially sighted and had, you know, and was going through what I've been through, I'd say to them, yeah, it's absolutely terrifying, and it's going to be at the start of your experience. People will be there for you. The hospital are there for you. Unfortunately, you might require a few hospital admissions pre-dialysis, but when it comes to dialysis, again, it's going to be absolutely terrifying. There's a number of accesses which the hospital would explain to you. You know, you can have access in your neck and in your arm. Also, there is another type of dialysis called peritoneal dialysis, where the dialysis happens in your stomach, basically. And put along, basically, if you imagine your stomach is going to be full of fluid, about 2 to 3 litres, and this catches the waste, which comes into your stomach from when you eat and drink, and it's pumped out into a bag and more fluid's pumped in. But that's basically a good option for anyone who doesn't like the idea of having needles and blood and can't stand the sight of blood, basically. I mean, obviously, not many people in our boat can see, but, you know, you get my gist of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically, look at me now, 7 years on, and I'm dialyzing a home. I've got great help from Holly and a family, and, you know, Holly particularly has overcome a fear of blood and helps me take myself off at times or whenever I need it.
So what's the future for Joe?
Well, basically, you know, one day I would like to return to work, and that probably is only going to happen when I get a kidney transplant. But one thing I must stress, though, is a kidney transplant is not a cure. It's just a treatment option. Mm. Sadly, the kidney will eventually fail after a number of years. It could fail after 2 years, could be 10 years. In some cases, I've heard people have had their transplant 25 years, even longer. Mm-hmm. But that's my aim, to return to work one day. But whether that'll happen, it just depends, really.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Joe.
No problem.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's been no problem. Great talking to you, obviously, and hearing something which, from my experience, obviously, I've never come across it. And so many other people listen, so it's always interesting to hear how people manage different situations, especially from your point of being visually impaired as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, thank you very much.
You can contact us by emailing podcast@vitalk.co.uk, on Facebook by searching for VI Talk, on Twitter @VITalkPodcast, and our website address is www.vitalk.co.uk.